The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Okay. Why don't we get started?
I'm Richard
Ugolo. Liz Olson. I teach in the...
I'm sorry, because there's no way we're going to be, it's like watching a tennis match.
You're going to get called on if you sit up front.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Just somewhere close to each other would be great.
Liz teaches, Liz is the real director of the trial advocacy program. So maybe you could introduce us.
Sure. I'm Erica. Thank you. And I'm a WOW, and I am in section.
What are your
I was more coming because I'm on the court. So right. And you're on the committee, right?
Yes.
So I was more just.
Okay. Cool.
My name is Marsha Martin. I'm also a WOW in section one. I'm interested in criminal law.
So. Prosecution or defense, or don't know yet? Defense. Okay. She's like, I came in, I don't know what to do. Just introduce yourself and tell us what your interest is.
My name is Nurali Shah, I'm a 1L at Section 5, and I'm interested in a few different things, but it tends to kind of funnel towards litigation.
Okay. Civil or criminal?
Looks to be more civil.
I'm Ario, I'm a 1L in Section 4, and I'm interested in international litigation.
Okay. Arbitration, sort of. Anything in particular?
Not sure yet.
Okay.
Clyde Taylor, 1L, maybe civil litigation.
Any particular area of civil litigation?
I guess like First Amendment stuff, perhaps.
You must understand us. You don't need to know that. my opinion, you don't need to know it, not yet, but, you know, if you do, that's cool. We can direct you maybe a little more specifically, but certainly there's plenty of things that are general. Do you
want to
start?
Not really, but I will. Okay. Let me tell you something about myself and I guess this. Here. I was, before coming to WCL in 2002, I was a special teacher in the criminal litigation section, civil rights division of the Department of Justice. And we litigated employment discrimination cases around the country. So that's my background. I had some criminal background before that. I was in the Army as a judge general for 4 years. The first year I defended the innocent, and the second year I was in the Army and prosecuted the guilty. So I've got some background in both civil and criminal, and I now teach in the general practice clinic at the law school. I hope you're all planning to take the clinic at some point in your careers, because I think you've got a great clinical programs put in place for that. And our students generally get to go into court, have some sort of adversarial proceeding.
My background, I graduated from law school in 95. I spent 5 years as a public defender in Virginia, mostly focusing on representing the mentally ill who are charged with violent offenses, so rape, robbery, murder type offenses. I left the public defender's office after 5 years to work for a private firm representing police officers who were charged with crimes. The private firm was generally a civil labor side firm that served as the International Union of Police Association's general counsel. And they were basically farming out all their criminal cases, so they hired me to take those criminal cases. So you imagine when you're a police officer and you shoot somebody, you sometimes get charged with homicide, you sometimes lose your job. So there's all kinds of things that you have to represent them on. So I ended up moving from criminal to civil. I ultimately left criminal entirely and represented police officers in discrimination actions against their employers. Didn't like being a plaintiff's attorney very much, so I moved to the defense side and defended the Department of Commerce at the end of my career and the exact same actions against the Department of Commerce. So Title VII, that sort of thing. I asked about arbitration because I started as a trial lawyer, and then by the end of my career spent much more of my career in pretrial discovery, arbitrations, mediations, you know, administrative hearings, and the like. So there's a lot that you can do within any particular area. It doesn't mean you have to always be in court all the time. There's a ton of different ways you can litigate. So
I think maybe that's something that's a great segue, because I'll speak for myself. Trial attorneys, litigators, are not in court all that much.
On the what?
Litigators are not, there aren't that many trials.
Yeah.
In civil.
Yeah. And nor, you know, many criminal cases, the vast majority of criminal cases involve plea bargaining. So one of the questions maybe we ought to focus on is, what does it mean to be a litigator?
I think that's good.
And what courses should you take that will assist you in going to court litigation, whatever that means? So I will advocate for a broad-based, quotes, liberal arts, course selection, including some sort of negotiation course, because as Liz pointed out, mediations and arbitration, alternative dispute resolution is now the name of the game. You're going to be doing that, so you want to become familiar. Most litigators do pretrial litigation, right? And that means discovery, arguing motions, that type of thing. So you ought to take courses that will assist you in learning about pretrial litigation. I assume you have lots of those. In terms of the liberal arts type thing I'm talking about, I always advocate for my students to take administrative law, a survey course of labor law, a survey course of intellectual property, because anybody who's doing something civil, on the civil side, is going to be involved in intellectual property. You need to have some foundation in what copyrights, patents, trademarks are. Business associations. Writing something, being on a law review, having something published. Critically important. Lawyers need to write. You don't get have enough great opportunity to write in law school beyond legal rhetoric. You need to do something to enhance those skills. You get become a better writer by writing. Those are my.
I have, obviously I'm biased since I'm the associate director of the trial ed program. I feel pretty strongly about the courses that we have to offer. That being said, though, I think there's a lot of merit can be given to those people who can sit back and say, I don't know exactly what I want to do, but I know I don't want to close any doors. I know I don't want to foreclose anything that might be of interest to me. So sort of my advice to you in your planning, course planning, as well as internships, externships, summer jobs, whatever you're going to go out there and do, that you, if you're not exactly sure what you want to do, I think you want to sit down with people in the field and say, what are the things that are going to look good to a prospective employer? What are the things that are going to help me to understand the big picture of this area of law, as well as the skills that I need to execute it? So, for example, if you know, some of you said you think you know that, Marcia, you said probably criminal defense. Well, criminal defense can cut so many different ways. It can be in public defense. It can be in small firm, big firm, white collar. It can be in government service. It can be, you know, working for the federal government versus private appointments. It can be policy making within criminal defense work, right? So there's tons of different areas that you can look at in that one particular field. My suggestion to you is, if you know that you want to litigate at some point, you have to take a basic trial ad class. Not because you're necessarily going to be trying cases all the time, but because in order to evaluate any case, you need to know what the end game is. So you need to know, eventually, if this did make it to court, this is what would have to happen. You also need to be a public speaker. You need to be able to stand up in any circumstance and be able to advocate for whatever the position is that you're taking. And maybe sometimes that's just talking to a partner in your firm where you never try a case. But you need to stand up and say, this is what we should do with regard to resolving this matter or with regard to this transaction. So I would recommend a basic trial ad class for anybody who thinks they might want to litigate. So you can go civil or criminal. There's 14 sections a year, so there's plenty of different options. If your schedule doesn't work, one thing I will tell you, if you know you want to do criminal, you can still take civil trial ad. It's still going to fill that little niche for you that I got up on my feet. I learned how to cross. I learned how to direct. I learned how to take a case theory and put it into practice, and I learned how to use a little of the evidence that I took. That takes me to evidence. If you want to be a litigator of any kind, even if you never want to set foot in a courtroom, you need to be able to understand what evidence is and what it means for, again, the end game, the ability to present a case, whatever that might be. You need to take evidence so that you understand it. It's also important to employers. So, for example, if you're going to a summer internship or something like that, even before you're ever applying for that end job, if you're going to be writing motions, which is a lot of what interns do, especially in public defender's offices or prosecutor's offices, you need to understand evidence. They require you to take criminal procedure here, so you're going to have to check that box anyway. But those are the things that are going to help you for those criminal jobs down the line.
Let me say something about evidence. You ought to take it, period. You need it for the bar exam, and if you want to take clinic, your clinic experience will be enhanced if you have evidence.
Is there any particular, so we have to take CrimPro and evidence. Is there any like further evidentiary classes that would be beneficial?
Well, I teach evidentiary foundations and objections, which is basically, you know, remember when an undergrad you took biology and then you took a biology lab?
Uh-huh.
That's basically what it is. You take your evidence first, and you take evidentiary foundations and objections, and you stand up every day in class and you get evidence in and you keep it out. You do it in pretrial motions, you do it with the examinations of witnesses, and it's all focused on probably about 20 different evidentiary sort of problems that we do during the semester. So if you know you want to be a public defender or something like that, EFO is a class that I'd strongly recommend you taking. It's intensive, though. You want to do it after you've taken the others. Okay.
Would the two of you recommend taking trial ad after evidence? Can they be taken concurrently?
They can be taken concurrently.
But what would you advise?
Honestly, I've had mixed reports. So I usually do a little poll of the students. At some point periodically and say, you know, how is this working for you, those that took it at the same time and those that took it as a prereq,
yeah.
And I get half and half.
Really?
I get people who say it was really nice to be learning the theory, the case law, the basis for the rules, and then applying it. So I went to evidence that day, and then I went over here and applied it. And there's other people who I think prefer to have all of the information first, then take the trial ad class, and I think it's more about your personality and how you learn. But if you're someone who really likes that more regimented way of learning, you might want to take it first.
I'll speak to it from the clinic standpoint. I think it's really important to have it before you enter clinic. We allow, or have allowed up till now, as students to take evidence as a co-requisite during clinic. I don't think it works as well. Because when you're getting ready to go to court, there's enough anxiety and preparation that goes through into that preparation and imposing evidence, learning the evidence, back, introducing a document, what's hearsay and everything on top of that becomes very difficult for students.
It's also going to help you for that second summer. So if you take it during your second year, you have it under your belt for whatever job you might find yourself in before your third year. And that's important.
I would say evidence is something like civil procedure. You don't really understand how important it is until you try to apply it. And at least in clinic and I assume in trial ad, you get to do that. And so having it in your memory bank someplace and calling it back when you need it is quite useful.
Questions sort of direct us in any particular direction. One of the other things I'd suggest you look for is sort of non-traditional classes in the areas that you like. Nowadays, we have seven different summer institutes. You've got one credit classes here and there in specialties and things that might interest you. Take them. It's a one credit class. It gives you some exposure to something you might not otherwise either understand or know that you're interested in. So if you have an opportunity to take a one credit class in something, for example, we offer this summer a deposition class. If you don't know if you want to practice civil litigation or you have really no time for pretrial civil in your classes, you can take one credit, learn how to depose someone, learn how to do it, and then again, that helps you in your internships later on, those jobs that you take, you know, in the summer. So I would suggest you sort of look at those non-traditional classes and go talk to someone, whoever runs the program. What will I learn in this class? You know, why is it valuable? How does it overlap with other classes?
And I would say, going back to my liberal arts metaphor, the school has a lot to offer in the way of course selection in different areas. I mentioned a couple, labor, intellectual property. I would take that up, the opportunity that's presented to you to challenge yourself, to expose yourself to these different domains, and see something might turn you on. You might become interested in something you've never thought about before. You can use your trial skills, your litigation skills, across a broad spectrum, whether it's criminal, civil, trademark or employment discrimination. They're the same basic skills of getting up on your feet, answering interrogatories, responding to questions, developing case theory. They're transferable. Get the experience and expose yourself to whatever the school has to offer. It's an awful lot.
Also taking different types of courses. I think a lot of students fall into a rut where they're sort of like, I'm a good writer, so I'm going to take courses that require paper, and I'm not a good exam taker, so I'm not going to take the classes that require a certain type of exam. I think you do yourself a disservice. You pay a lot of money to come to school here for the selection and for the different types of professors, and people are incredibly innovative in the way they teach their courses and the way that they put them together. And I'd suggest you take advantage of that. I mean, take courses that challenge you, make you do different things, make you stand up on your feet and do stuff, make you write things, make you interact, you know, in some different way. And that challenges you. And in doing that, I think you end up with a better education. You end up learning more. You end up sort of challenging yourself. And you're going to figure out things about what you're interested in that you never knew. So there's something to be said for reaching out and trying those sort of courses that scare you a bit.
Do you have any questions?
Could you talk a little bit about clinic?
Well, we have 10 clinics, 10 in-house clinics. And all, Jimmy?
Sorry, are they semester long or a year?
Both. Okay. I teach in the general practice clinic. It's one semester a year. Some of the other clinics, including economic development, intellectual property, disability rights, are one-year clinics. It's six or seven are one-year and remainder are one semester. There's advantages and disadvantages to both. Most of the clinics are 7 hours a semester, so it's like half your credit load. So you're giving up something into all these wonderful courses here. Well, if you're taking clinic for a year, you're giving up the ability to take these other courses. I always encourage students to speak to students who are currently enrolled in clinic to get a sense what it's like and what they would do, again, to have to go over again. I think clinics are a wonderful experience because you will have real clients. Every clinic has real clients. You learn to get along with them. You get their story. You get to tell their story. That's one of the overlaps between us. What litigators do is tell stories. So in both areas, in trial ad, and certainly in clinic, you get to tell your story and learn how to do things. And in addition to that, you get to apply some of the skills and knowledges that you've learned in your other courses like evidence and civil procedure. Often students get to file a complaint. Well, you're going to draft a complaint. You've learned about what the complaints are in civil procedure. Now you're going to draft one and you figure out how to file it, how to serve it on somebody. Same thing, discovery. Did you go to the, we had an information session.
Right.
Next February, did anybody go to the information session for clinics this year? Next February, first, second, third week, February, there will be an information session for clinic for the following year. Please keep your eyes out for it. Make sure you go to it. If you have any questions about clinic, please, my door is open, always open.
One of the things about can I just interject one thing really quick? One of the things about clinic that's sort of surprising, I think when you think about 7 hours and they go, that's like two classes. But it's not like two classes because the timing of it, it's not like you're like, okay, Tuesday from now to now, I'm going to do my clinic stuff. It isn't like that. Clients call, clients miss meetings, clients jerk you around, great things happen, scary things happen, and they happen at all hours of the night and all the time. And one of the things you mentioned is that you were on moot court, and that's something that we've sort of been in discussions with. I'm the faculty chair of the committee on all competition teams, so SDR, moot court, and mock trial. And one of the hard things is that for competition, you have competition. It's set for this date. I'm traveling to Vienna. I'm doing this thing. It's going to be 10 days. But your client failed to show up for court and needs you to go in and resolve a capias for his arrest that's out there. You're in Vienna. So it really is a commitment that you have to think through at the beginning. Think about the externships or internships that you want to do during that year. Think about your commitment to your clients and be sure that those things can live harmoniously. Because it is, it is a different kind of commitment. It's not, oh, I just won't get a good grade. It's a, I'm going to let my client down, and that's unacceptable. So there is a certain amount of balance you really do have to work through when you're going to be in clinic. You have to be there.
So would you maybe like not do clinic at the same time as you were competing?
I would recommend if you do a semester clinic, you can work around your competition schedule. I would, you know, recommend that maybe you just compete in the other semester and not in your clinic semester, just to be sure that that doesn't conflict. A little more difficult for moot court because some of those larger competitions, I mean, you have to think about it. If you really are committed to doing clinic, maybe you need to sign up for a different moot court. So instead of doing a Jessup or VEAST, some of those bigger competitions or international competitions, you select a different one to be sure that you can, you know, live up to your obligations to your clinic.
So kind of on the same wavelength, would it be too much to do an externship and clinic?
It depends on the externship, and
well,
I think...
Well, it also depends on the clinic.
Yeah, that's true.
The students do. Depends how much flexibility you have in your externship. As Liz pointed out, clinic is not, we're going to work 20 hours and that's it. Clinic is a job. When you've got clients and you're subject to the rules of professional responsibility, and you'll learn that when you take ethics. Your obligations to your client. We view your client as being the most important thing in your lives. Mm-hmm. If you've got to go to court, well, and you've got a conflict, court overrides the conflict. There, every semester, it's almost inevitable that there be a conflict between moot court and clinic, or an externship responsibility.
And sometimes we can work it out ahead of time, and sometimes we can work through it, but it's better to plan.
We did it this semester. We had a student team, and of course they had a trial in February. We assigned cases, and the case we assigned had a trial the same day that the student was supposed to be wherever, and so we switched cases. But we knew about that in advance. If that trial had been scheduled during the semester and conflicted, then there would have been... in a much more difficult situation.
Any other questions? All our contact information is up there, so you know our doors are always open. So we're in the same corner. So if you come to talk to us, you can get one of us always, pretty much.
Let me say something about externships. I think they're good if it's the right externship, but don't get an externship where your major responsibility is Xerox.
Is there a specific order you recommend we take classes in?
There is for trial ed,
right,
because there are some pretty fixed prereqs. I would suggest you start with a basic trial ed class. The only prereq or co-req for that, if it's civil, then you have to take evidence either before or at the same time, and since you're required to do civil procedure in your first year, you have that box checked already, so you can pretty much, like, you could take it this summer if you wanted after your first year. Criminal procedure, you have to wait. You can't take it in the summer. You have to take it in the fall because you need criminal procedure at the same time. Once you have that under your belt, then you're freed up to take evidentiary foundations and objections, which is an advanced class. Pretrial civil doesn't have any prerequisites other than civil procedure, so you're good to go on that at any time. I would not take e-discovery.
Electronic discovery.
Yeah, which is it's all electronically stored information, so how to get, save, get in, capture, punish people for emails and chats and all of the stuff on their servers and things like that. It's a big part of civil litigation now, and a lot of white-collar criminal prosecution as well. But those classes are slightly more advanced. So for me, I would suggest, although they're not prereqs, to take that basic trial ed class before you take some of those higher-level classes. Like there's also a scientific evidence and expert testimony class. You know, make sure you have evidence, maybe a trial ed class, so that class makes sense to you. But it's not in prereq only evidence.
On the clinic side, if you're interested, for instance, in the intellectual property law clinic or the tax clinic, you should take your own. I think you're required to take tax or an IP course before. I don't know what it is on the criminal clinic, but you have to have an advanced criminal course there.
And there are lots of advanced courses, and if criminal is what excites you and interests you, there's tons of advanced seminars in criminal defense, and we have two in prosecution. So one is just the challenges and obligations of a prosecutor. The other is a homicide investigation from, like, the call in the middle of the night trial. So if you think you might be interested in prosecution, certainly we have those classes, too.
Well, actually, this may go to your question. I never hadn't thought about this because... almost all the students taking clinic are graduating. They're either 3Ls or in the part-time section. four adults. We have an evening general practice. But if you're interested in a particular clinic, and kind of have a sense of that now, you might want to take courses that next year that will allow you to take an IP course, etc.
Are those listed anywhere?
They are on, there's a clinic website, and the prerequisites should be there. If they're not, see me. We'll get you the information. Do your due diligence. It's important. And I'm glad you're here. It's important to plan.
So the six of you will be, have your ducks in line. All right. Okay. Great.
Any other questions?